huge blessing. We're going to be publishing my book soon, and I'd love to be able to send you all announcements. So again, go to the website where it says subscribe. I promise I don't spam you. Unfortunately, actually, I'm not even sending enough emails. So you may get 3 a year. That's it. And maybe a couple more when the book comes out. But other than that, I promise no spamming. So we'd appreciate that. Yes. Oh, no sound. We have no sound. I told you.
Yeah, it should be back, though. Let us know if you can hear us now. I think they can.
You can hear now.
Okay. They should be able to.
What happened?
Somehow that got muted down there.
So my whole spiel? Didn't hear my whole spiel?
You want to do it all over again?
Did you guys not hear my whole spiel about sending it to the website or YouTube? I really had a good spiel. Will you let me know if you did not hear my whole YouTube request?
They did not. I know they didn't.
We missed all the spiel. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let me start from the beginning.
Yes.
So if you listen to the podcast or you watch live, we have a very simple request that you go to our YouTube channel and click the tab with all the live content. So it doesn't appear on the face of the recordings or playlists. It's under the live tab. Click one of those, like and subscribe. That really helps us with the algorithm. And the second request is please go to the website and sign up for the newsletter. I promise not to spam you. You may get 3 emails a year. I am not keeping up with it as much as I should, but we will be using it for my book announcement. And we're going to have a 99-cent launch where you can buy it for 99 cents. So yes. If you love me enough to do that, I would appreciate it.
Oh, wow.
If you really love me, you buy the book for 99 cents.
You're starting the guilt early.
I am. I'm starting it from now. For the next 6 months, that's what you're going to hear.
In case not understanding your lingo.
You don't understand lingo. Like and subscribe? What lingo?
Maybe you're talking in another fast speed language. Oh, you were talking really fast about stuff.
Cindy said she didn't hear.
No, she didn't hear when you asked the question. Did you hear? She's responding to
the spiel.
She didn't hear.
Carrie says they love me enough.
Well, Carrie does. She might be the only one.
Thanks a lot. You wouldn't say you and Carrie may be the only ones?
Oh, yeah, there's that. I meant as far as the audience.
Okay.
Yeah, not me. Of course not, Schnooks.
Cindy said, I love you more than enough, too. So, ha,
two. That's two. That's two. You know, the one thing we should start every show muted, because we get more comments when we...
We can hear you.
Yeah.
Bunch of idiots. excuse me, but your podcast has no sound.
Every so often, we can hover over something, and that, it's just, you know, one of those things. I was saying, because we had a couple of errors going live, that I saw Dan Bongino, who has been doing this for, you know, a podcast live like this for like 10 years now. And he did the very same thing the other day.
Oh, nice.
We had the same issues, no sound, a bunch of stuff was happening. It was awesome. It always makes me feel better when one of them do it, like Charlie Kirk, because they have a whole production team.
Right.
They have like five
as
people
to hear.
Yeah, it's just you see the whole production team.
Right here.
Hey, Dave. Hi, Bostick, Dave. Stranger.
Sorry, we need to get more regular about going on, too.
Carrie says she loves me, too. Just don't tell me.
It'll be our secret.
And Dave, thanks for making me not alone as far as, you know, being men, a man viewer.
In the T-zone?
I love to see other men on. We haven't seen Kevin. Paul in a while. Or Kevin today.
Paul used to come on when we were in the day. I don't know if Paul does nighttime.
He might be sleepy, sleepy night, night.
Yeah. Is he in the East Coast too? Or is he Central?
I want to say Illinois or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So what I want you guys to do is to make sure and check out our sponsor. Oh no, first, you need to comment, just like these people are doing. If you're watching and not commenting, just say hi. Let us know where you're watching from. Also, let us know if you have any prayer requests. Towards the end of the show, we will be praying for everyone who has a prayer request, and most likely we'll be praying for ourselves in some form or fashion.
Don't give him too much to do now, because for the next 6 months, we're focusing on the newsletter and subscribe.
And your book. It's all going to be all about your book.
About me.
Yeah.
It's all about me because me, we is we.
Me is we. And now what I want you to do is also check out our sponsors. LifeWise is one of those, a Christian based company. They say Jesus is our CEO, but check out the products there. They have things that will help you sleep and inflammation and beauty and all these kinds of things. So make sure and check those out. I was very excited to tell people about that. That was a very excitement announcement. But try it. Without dream, I'm not sure that I would get any sleep. I've been sleeping so good with dream.
I have to, the don't die guy. So I don't know if you guys have heard of this. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but he takes 30 milligrams of melatonin every night.
30 milligrams.
30.
What is it that I take? Two.
Well, the LifeWise doesn't tell you.
That's true. They don't want to give away their formulation.
Yeah. They don't tell you the formulation. So,
but it's not that much probably. Those stamps would be like a piece of paper.
Yeah.
All right. Also, check out StreamYard. I love StreamYard so much. I've been able to do some other stuff. Had to record on StreamYard earlier because one of my other apps was not working on my computer for some reason. It keeps crashing. And I'm not sure why. That rarely happens with Mac stuff, but StreamYard always works.
That's awesome.
And they just added some new bells and whistles too. So check it out.
What are the new bells and whistles?
They made it easier to navigate, mostly navigation things. And, you know, just
did you tell them about how one of our faces is
touching? I have. And, you know, they'll get to it.
They eventually
don't ruin my announcement by.
They eventually.
And turn to your Bibles to Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Wow, that's a lot of verses. We don't usually go 9 verses.
Or 10 verses. Count.
Oh, sorry. I saw the 1 to 10.
That's
4 to 10.
Six. That's right there. Public education at its finest.
I went from 1 to 10. I am so sorry. 6 verses.
I think
even then, we don't go to 6.
Yes, we do.
Really?
It's really important scripture. God saying, Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in the womb.
It's better when you tell somebody that I never knew you. That's really bad when God tells you.
Oh,
that.
God. Yeah, you get one of two messages. I've known you since before I formed you, or get away from me. I never knew you.
Never knew you.
So you want to make sure you're on one end of that or the other.
I don't want to be the I never knew you guy.
Right.
All right. This is
it's a good point by you. Thank you. Bible humor.
Listen. I'm full of it. I mean, full of stuff.
I'm full of it. That was funny too.
All right. So the title for this one's very long. It's A.W. Tozer for the Christian Leader, April 11th. And the title is O-H exclamation point. Jeremiah 1:6 is A.W.'s reference. It says, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. For I am a child. Explain that one.
I will.
Okay, later.
Later.
Okay. A.W. says, to be articulate at certain times, we are compelled. Sorry, let me start that all over again.
Why?
Because I didn't do it right. To be articulate at certain times, we are compelled to fall back upon O, or O, which is just O, exclamation point. A primitive exclamatory sound that is hardly a word at all and that scarcely admits of a definition. In theology, there is no O, and this is a significant, if not anonymous thing. Theology seeks to reduce what may be known of God to intellectual terms, and as long as the intellect can comprehend, it can find words to express itself. When God himself appears before the mind, awesome, vast, and incomprehensible, then the mind sinks into silence and the heart cries out, O Lord God. There is the difference between theology knowledge and spiritual experience, the difference between knowing God by hearsay and knowing him by acquaintance. And the difference is not verbal merely, it is really the serious and vital. We Christians should watch lest we lose the O from our hearts. When we become too glib in prayer, we are most surely talking to ourselves. When the calm listing of requests and the courteous giving of proper thanks take the place of the burdened prayer that finds utterance difficult. We should beware the next step, for our direction is surely down whether we know it or not.
Lord, don't ever let me lose the, oh, amen. Oh. So I've got something.
Go ahead. Start. Yeah.
So Pastor Jack Hibbs today put out a podcast, Fasting and Prayer. And I don't know if I'd say it's different than Tozer's opinion, but my understanding of what Jack was saying was that, first of all, he emphasized that you could pray anywhere. And prayer is what is important about prayer based on biblical references from Jesus, also not to pray with rogue memorization, not to say the same thing over and over again. And is that it's important for it to be a conversation with God. And he says, even if you're praying over a meal, if you're like, thank you, Lord, for this food, may it bless my body. Thank you for the people who prepared it. He's like, if you say those words, but in your heart, you mean, thank you for the ability to put food on the table. Thank you for this home that protects us. Thank you for the provision you give without measure. If there is so much more in your heart than the words that you've uttered, then you're in a conversation with God. That's prayer. It doesn't matter. It's not so important what words come out, but the posture of your heart. And I love that, because for those of us, we had this conversation a couple of days ago. We're like, oh, we're not so good about the whole prayer closet and go to the secret place and spend hours, but we like to be in conversation with God. Pastor Jack was really kind of advocating that today. And I love this one little pithy saying. He's like, if you fast from food without prayer, you're just dieting. I thought that was funny. He's like, that's not prayer. If you fast without prayer, that's a diet.
Fast without prayer, that's a diet. Yeah. That is so good.
Isn't it cute? So it's just kind of like, you have to be fasting to seek God. And not because you intend to change God's mind, but you are struggling to hear from God, or you want to give thanks for something, or you're expecting and you need God to move in a certain way, but not because you expect to manipulate him by fasting. Like that God intends to do X and you think you're going to fast and pray until he does Y. That's kind of a prosperity preacher thing. But he's like, don't do that. That should not be your intention. Your intention is to seek God's will for your life through fasting. And he's like, and if you're not praying and you're not doing it with a sincere heart, you're just dieting.
That is really good.
Isn't it? That's what I got.
Wow. I like this sentence here that says there is the difference between theological knowledge and spiritual experience. The difference between knowing God by hearsay and knowing him by acquaintance.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how I lived my Christian life for 20 some odd years. Right. Was that I was just it was just hearsay.
Especially that part.
Yeah.
Knowing God by hearsay. This is what they describe of God.
Because they were a pastor, I was assuming what they were telling me was enough.
Right.
They go, yeah, God, Jesus.
I heard.
This Jesus guy is a pretty cool dude. Every so often they would have a guest speaker. And I go, that's really cool to get your perspective too.
Yeah.
And
I can live with that. I can live with that perspective.
Yeah, I really, now again, I want to say this. It just sounds so bad, but I don't recall ever really. Now, I'm sure somebody said you need to have a relationship. A relationship with Jesus.
It's become a cliche. Yeah.
But I don't know if I was really told what that meant.
Yeah.
Like you can have a relationship with the, when you're calling to get something straightened out in your insurance policy and you're calling somebody that's in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You can, in that short period of time, how's the weather over there in Alabama? You know, you have any kids? Oh yeah, I have some kids. And you end up having this, you can have a relationship, but you know, but it's just
that's this, not a relationship, that's a conversation.
This conversation or this hearsay, but it's a very shallow, I meant to say a shallow relationship of it's there's no girth to that kind of relationship.
Well, it's kind of like what he says towards you have this calm list of requests and you have this courteous way of giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for food and for my health. And I'd like to go to Acapulco for vacation. And you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're running through this list as if you're talking to the salesperson or customer service representative.
Yeah. But it really is, I mean, a huge difference for those of you that are still just trying to get there is that when you really have that relationship with God, you do depend on him being there. I mean, because you're praying for them and prayer for you're praying to him and giving him thanks. But it's different just to say thanks to the person that helps you at Starbucks as opposed to really giving thanks for, man, God, this day was amazing that I have this opportunity to spend it with this great family that I have, that we live in the United States of America in this place. I mean, this is all thanks to you. Everything that I have is because of God. When you truly understand that, now that is a intimate relationship with the God of creation, the God of everything of this,
right,
of our existence.
And Carrie's asking you, Andy, how do you know how it changed from hearing to knowing?
I'd hate to say this because I don't want everybody to believe that you have to have this the same experience where Jesus is standing in front of you and appears and says,
yeah, but after that, it could have been done and dusted. Like what happened after that?
Then the continuous connection, the wanting to grow and actually growing with each day, the relationship grew each day. Kind of like when I first met you in line, that was great. You know, you get the tingles and everybody around you goes, I mean, I saw the couple the other day when I went to Calvary Chapel. Aww. that were in line, that I was meeting.
Yeah.
And they go, Andy, how are you? And I go, people, because they're horrible with names. We got married and I went through the whole thing and they go, oh, we knew at the moment we saw you. But where the relationship, and just to answer Carrie's question, is that then we got to know each other. Then we got married and then we began to live together. Then we began to go through trials. Then we begin to have challenges. But the relation out of those challenges, even when we didn't maybe see eye to eye, our relationship didn't grow apart. It grew closer.
Right.
Once we figured it all out and it continues to grow closer. There's definitely a feeling, that is like no other that I've had in my entire life with you and with God.
Oh,
because it's something that now it's just a part of my life. I think about them daily. I think about them all the time. Every time I do something, how did that affect my relationship with God?
If we had to make a bullet list, I think, okay, so it's the frequency of the communication to the nearness of the communication. Right.
Yep.
That it's conversational, right? Because I know when I first met you, when we used to talk about hearing from God, that was not common for you. Like that. Yeah. You're like, what are you talking about? Hear from God. You had a similar reaction to when I first was told you sit and listen for God to respond. And I'm like, I don't have no context for what you're saying to me right now. And so it becomes conversational. This is what Tozer is talking about, is that our relationship with God should become like our closest relative, our lover, our spouse, where you're drawing closer, you're communicating, you're hearing, you're talking, he's talking, you're talking, he's talking, you know, it's lovely.
Yeah. And then you want to continue to learn. You don't want to stop learning.
Absolutely.
One of the things I talked about, with my dog trainers and as they began to get in the business, and again, you got to understand, I did this for 40 years, is that in my 30th year, when I was still teaching people how to be dog trainers, is that even after 30 years, there's still more to be learned. Oh. I want to know more. There's some people that can get to a place and they go, I know it all. There's nothing, there's no point in a relationship where we're done growing, I don't think. So that goes with God and it goes with us. We always want to grow in our relationship. What more can we do to make our relationship better?
For sure.
And I think that's definitely with God. I when I'm listening to pastors now, I'm listening to learn whatever the pastor's talking about, how that I could use that in my life, how I can make my relationship with God stronger. Before, it used to be, I just listened to the message that was a good message.
Like, it was intellectual.
Yeah. It's like watching a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was a good TV show. Yay. That was a good message. Yay.
Yeah. It's a good analogy because it's not meant to change you when you're just watching TV. And that's another discernible difference, is you feel changed.
Yes.
You feel this constant transformation occurring. Like you're different than you were last month. You're different than the month before that. You're just, you're changing in ways that are only attributable to God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right on.
Hope that answered your question, Carrie.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if anybody were following this, this thing that I'm involved in with Togo's and Yorba Linda Moms group, which is a private group. But something happened in the private group and the people that own the Togo's were being attacked in this private group, essentially, of 5,000 people, not like of 10.
Yeah.
Like 5,000 community members. And, you know, you have this company or this small business that's owned by a family that's not knowing what's going on in this thing. And so some other members, because it's a Yorba Linda Moms, I'm not a mom, sent me the screenshots and said, "Do you see what's happening here? Maybe you could talk about it." And so I talked about it. And people are saying, "What kind of Christian, you know, attacks a mom and her daughter?" I go, "I don't know where you're getting the attack part. The family of this small business was being attacked privately in a group of 5,000 moms who make lunch and dinner decisions, which if this business loses, you know, 10% of their business, they may not be able to stay open." I mean, that's how the margins are so narrow. And essentially what happened is the daughter of this mom got her hours reduced. Reduced initially. We don't know if she still works there or not. It's unclear. But the daughter got her hours reduced from 20 hours a week to, I think, cut in half, because the company can't afford the $20 an hour that Gavin Newsom has forced all these small businesses, other than Panera Bread, to take on. And so it's just like, wow. And she's going to sue this company for reducing. She says,
"Can you draw the thread for me how you got here?"
Because the question is that they're questioning my Christianity.
Ah, okay.
For doing this.
Okay.
I like how you get to the point.
Yeah, because we're on this very important point, and we have all these comments that go back to that point.
Yes.
So before we go on to
the
sidetracker.
No, but I mean, I pray about these things. I think about these things. I don't just jump on like instantaneously. These things take a little time to percolate. And I said, "So what's more important, the slander of this company that does not know that it's happening in a private group, or making it well known what's happening so that they have a chance to say, 'Wait a minute, we just couldn't afford to pay her.' That's all there is. Like we love her," or whatever they want to say. And so is it more Christian to protect this family from losing their business and say, "Here, I just want to bring this out in the open so people can see it and you make your decision"? Or am I not Christian because I brought it to everybody's attention?
I don't know. I got to tell you some things. It's just, there's nothing to do with Jesus.
I know. That's what their attack is.
Yeah. Because I mean, I mean, you should always behave with a character that is Christ-like. Mm. You shouldn't be rude or vulgar. You shouldn't be right. demeaning.
I wasn't vulgar.
Shouldn't
I
be...
might have been demeaning. Oh. Only to the mom. Well, only to the mom. Like, what's that? This is ridiculous. You can't fault this company. This I call it company. This small business that simply couldn't afford a payer. That's all there was.
So what did you say that was demeaning about her?
I might have
called her nimwit or whatever.
Yeah, my favorite word. Mm. Nitwit. It just comes out.
What if you later find out that that's your seatmate at church? How will you feel?
I don't care. We'll talk about it. I'll say, really, did you think that this company should go under just to keep your daughter?
But do you think that you needed to insult her to make the point?
No, it just comes out. I asked for God's forgiveness.
Did you?
Okay. Yes. I said, help me be stronger. Help me be better. And then somebody commented, I did a live today, and it was somebody in the comment who said they're, you know, said it for me. And I said, see, I'm not the one. That was a comment.
Oh,
I felt better about it.
So you didn't say nitwit.
I did in the original one, but not in the one today. Okay. But I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, at some point, do you protect? Do you help? You know, what that gets called into question. And again, I prayed about it, and I thought it was necessary to make.
But you're not going to blame Jesus for doing it inappropriately.
No, I never blame Jesus. Today I said, hey, it was my flesh. It was our flesh to attack Blue Spoon. Blue Spoon?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the ice cream company?
Yeah. Andy tried to destroy a local business.
I did not. I did nothing.
One hand he's protecting.
I did not. Other people. And I was, I'm in the group that did it. But then we thought
Birds
about it.
Birds of a feather.
Right. And I talked about that today on the thing. And I said, We calmed down, got out of our flesh, and then went immediately over to Blue Spoon and bought a bunch of ice cream in support of their charity.
Now we're doing a Togo drive.
And I'm going to go to Togo's. I tried to go there today, but their toilets were not working, apparently. Is this interesting to any of you guys?
I doubt it.
But I think it is. I mean, everybody who watches can have those incidents where do I speak up or not? If I speak up, somebody's going to be offended. We have to defend people sometimes. I mean, where do we go when we feel like we need to defend somebody?
Here, let me give you it from Carrie.
Yeah.
Pastor Jack said, don't be rude. Ask for words from the Lord first, because we cause unbelievers to judge God by our behavior. Mm. Glorify Christ, for they will then glorify, because they will praise your Father in heaven. Based on how our character is perceived, you know? So I don't think there's a problem standing up for anybody. And you know that because the role model that we follow is our teacher, is Pastor Jack and Pastor Bob. Both of them are wonderful, as far as we see, wonderful human beings, and can be very critical. Pastor Jack can be very critical of stuff, but he doesn't insult people to do that. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
I just don't think you need to insult people.
What about Pastor Driscoll?
He's a little more insulting.
I'm a little more in line with Pastor Driscoll, apparently.
True.
I love Pastor Jack, and I learned from him, and he's my father figure, even though he's only 3 years older than me. But I tend to be a little bit more like
Driscoll.
Pastor Mark. It's just the way it is. Let's see what Kate has to say to him.
We grow closer in trials and conflicts. Our trust and relationship grows as we learn to listen and know that he is there through the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of life. Amen. Cindy wants prayer for traveling mercies. She's leaving on Sunday. And Kate says, Carrie, the Bible says it too. Yes. Yes. So there you have it. Should we go to the scripture?
Yes.
Or you want to speak more about Togo's first?
Yeah, I have more to say about Togo's.
Okay.
No, just kidding. All right, here we go. And we're reading what?
So we're in Jeremiah 1:4, and this is very famous passage of scripture about our identities and how God knows us since the beginning of time, before time. And so I'm going to just start at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Jeremy responds, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth. And the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for who shall go? For you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen. Can you imagine? It's not even a burning bush. Can you imagine? You're Jeremiah. You're this kind of average guy, but you're holy. And you hear the voice of God saying, I knew you since, before time. I formed you in your mother's womb. You're going to go to people and speak. And your response is, I'm not going. I mean, like literally every prophet said that. Gideon said it. Moses said it. David said it. They're like, no, you must have the wrong guy. Like, how do you hear the booming voice of God? And that's your reaction. Isn't that nuts?
No.
I find it nuts. I just don't. I can't imagine.
It's not. I want to say it's nuts too. I want to say that. But
I didn't even get a speech out of God. I got the audible voice of Christ telling me, Hedy, it's me. And that was it.
That's why I think that you were so amazing at your dad's service, where you or God said, go stand up in front of a bunch of Muslims. Mm-hmm. And tell them about Jesus. But do you remember what happened before you went up?
I was afraid.
Yes. And you said, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
I don't know. Audibly heard the voice of God. That's what I'm saying. Like when I audibly heard him, for me to turn around and be like, huh? What do you mean it's me? Me who? What is me? I don't know. I just find it wild. Like, what do you think the audible voice of God coming down sounds like to them? Like, I heard, I don't know. I envision it far more dramatic than my experience.
I think it's the same. Whether you hear it if he whispers it to it in a still calm voice or says it out loud, it's still him telling you, get your butt up on that stage and tell those Muslims about Jesus Christ. About me.
I don't know. Okay,
and
what do you guys think?
And you go, and you're like, what? I can't. I was sitting behind her. I go, you can do this. You can do this. I had the same thing when they asked me to pray at the school board meeting that day when all the devils were in the room. Arrest him, and they wanted me arrested for praying in a school board meeting. They did point at the police, and there was that moment where I almost said no, and I think I did say no. And something it was God just said, he pulled me up by my shirt and said, stand up and start praying, you heathen. And I did. But it's I don't know that it's that's that much different whether it's audible or in your head. If he whispers it into your soul, into your being, I think that's more intimate.
I don't know.
That he says, hey, go up there.
But he was saying it. He's like, I have anointed you, my servant. Go preach to the world. You will put up and tear down.
Read Carrie's message.
I know, but she's saying the still small voice, but it wasn't a still small voice. Oh, you're saying that's what you think Jeremiah heard? When he says the voice of the Lord came to me, you think Jeremiah heard a still small voice? No. I imagine this loud, booming voice. But
loud, okay. Loud or
if it was still and small, then I understand. If it was like a whisper, hey, Jeremiah. That's how it was with Saul. Because he kept thinking it was Samuel that was talking to him, and it was actually God saying, Saul. And he's like, what? And then Samuel goes home, go back and tell him speak, Lord, your servant is listening, because he kept thinking it was coming from another room. So that I get.
I think the worst one for me recently that I read is, I think it's the end of Deuteronomy, about when Moses is dying or going to be dead. And he goes up on the mountain.
Oh, right.
And God says, you see that land over there? That's the land that I promised you. You're not going. And think about all of what I've read about what Moses, he put Moses through. Like, you need to go tell these people, you know, how to build this. You need to tell these people how to, you know, give me a sacrifice. And it's got to be all these. He put Moses through the ringer.
Yeah.
And I, he goes, hey, come up, climb this mountain. you're not done. You're 100 and what was 120? Something like that. 120 years old. Climbed this mountain. They said he was still spry and still able to, you know, move pretty quickly, but he was old.
Yep.
And he climbs up this mountain and he says, see that over there? That's the land that I promised you, but you're not going to be there. Oh, Farfing Nugan. I would say, okay, God. All right. Take me. But then he gets to go to heaven with him. What's better, going to that dust-filled, well, I guess it was land of milk and honey. But.
And he gets to come back.
And he gets to come back.
Came back to the Mount of Transfiguration.
Oh, my gosh.
So Kate references the Bible story about the two brothers, one saying he would not go and he didn't, and the other brother who said no and then he went. It's the parable of the two sons from Matthew 21. Similar example.
Yeah.
And Carrie's saying about Moses, obviously our works don't count.
Ah.
It's a good example of that.
Yeah.
Or, and like to that point, it's an example of how you never know. I always tell this to Muslims because they say, oh, you know, I'll get there. God will forgive me. And I'm like, how could you imagine that he's going to put your, because Islam is very specific about your sins and your good deeds will be put on a scale and your good deeds have to be heavier. I mean, I used to rack my brain over that, thinking to myself, how would I know if it's heavier? Like there are these really bad things that I could have done. Like God's like that I draw the line at that. Like with Moses and the rock, out of all the things Moses did he know that what would be the one thing that wouldn't let him cross over is hitting a rock? Like if he had to put this stuff on a scale, he would think he's for sure in the clear.
Right.
So it's just, we're so blessed that God is not putting our deeds on a scale. Like we're just so blessed. Why do you want to follow a God that tells you your deeds are on a scale? You don't want that.
Really quick. Just something came to me before we read Dave's comment there. How many people were at your dad's service?
About 300.
Islamic center.
300?
300. We're in an Islamic center, 300. There were maybe 10 to 15 Christians there, do you think?
You count 10. Oh, count us. Three? Two?
Yeah
three. Two and a half. Sorry, it was half in, half out then.
So that message was so strong that it came to you days before because you already knew what you were going to say. But then you hesitated for a second, just in your seat. And then the voice again was strong to go up there and do it. And you got strength to do it, which I don't know that I would have done it. I don't think I would have been strong enough to do it.
Even though you were like, go, you can do it.
Yeah, because you were doing it.
Exactly. Come on, pumpkin. You got this. I believe in you. You got this.
I think in the end I would have done it. But still, I mean, it was like, everybody's dressed in this black. And it looked like what I see on TV when they're getting ready to hang somebody. they're in Persia.
Oh my goodness.
Literally.
It was scary. It was a scary room.
But my thought was, I just wish that we somehow could know, and I will find out when when we're up there with him. He'll say, do you know out of those 300 people? 20. You planted the seeds with all of them, and 20 of them it grew. Aww. And they became born again Christians. Wouldn't that,
God, that I mean, be just so beautiful.
Just to understand what that was all about.
That would have been beautiful. I did hear from a number of people, even a couple of weeks ago, I told you I called one of my mom's doctors who was Jewish and asking about my mom's health care and stuff. And then he said to me, he's like, I got to tell you, I'm really proud of you. What you did that night was unbelievable. And he's like, Islam is a terrible religion. He's like, and you had the guts to stand up there basically and say, this sucks.
What's wrong with you people?
Why do you want to do this?
You're going to come back in a few days or another year and you're going to be begging God to take my dad to heaven because you don't know. None of you know where right. You're going, and you're going to keep doing this over and over and over again. And you just will never know. I know I'm going to heaven.
Right.
I'm going to visit. I'm going to be right there with him.
Amen.
If they just understood. So what's Dave saying there?
Dave's saying, none of us wants to hear God speak like he did when he responded to Job saying, why was I even born? Yeah, that's a long tirade God does to Job. Where were you when I formed the earth?
Sounds like me talking to the kids.
Right?
I did all this. I did this.
Well, also,
you guys couldn't even wash your dishes.
Right? I just want to make sure Zara got home.
Job. Well, that guy went through some stuff, did he? Dave?
Job, right?
I want to know a little bit more about what you guys, how you guys felt about Moses being told that he was never going to go to that land. Am I the only one who was like, I almost started crying.
Poor Moses.
And they're in Starbucks reading, and I these little tears come into my eyes. I go, wait a minute. He doesn't even get like to put his foot like on the land for a second.
Through all the noise of the great wind, the rocks being broken apart, the earthquake and the fire, a still small voice could be heard. Aha, yes. Still small voice.
That's great, Kate.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Exodus 3:2. So good.
Sorry, saying her Uber driver is a little suspicious.
Yeah.
So I'm just watching her. Ask her to send me the pin.
Good. Got to do that. Anything else? That's
a lot of people get mad at me for letting her Uber, but I'm like, you know, if you're with my daughter, I'm a little bit torn that the Uber driver may be safer than her driving. It's really an unnerving experience. I gotta say, I really see my life flash before my eyes almost every time I get in the car. So Cindy says, last week I read that in Job in church. I preach God is God and we are not. I love that. Yes. Yay. She says, y'all keep talking about what I've been preaching on. It's that Holy Spirit radio, yep. Cindy. That happens to us in church all the time. We're like, do, 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 do. Mm-mm. There's that verse again.
It's going to happen to you. We don't need to go into detail, but you kind of had that same thing today. You're reading a devotional. This happens to me often too, reading a devotional. And you read the words and then you go, sometimes you think, I wonder if that means something, to me personally, this particular message. Or you read it and you go, oh, that's really keen. And then the phone rings, and you go, and in the end of that was what I read in my devotional.
Yes.
These things are so awesome when they happen.
Yes.
Those are those little signs that we always talk about, that where God just gives you this little, there you go, there I am. Just want to make sure you, now that you got me, I'm going to share with you a little bit more often about, those things that you need to know, that I'm here with you every day, every second of every day.
Oh, Carrie makes a good point. Felt bad for Moses, but no word of him complaining, is there? Nope.
No, there wasn't. He just died. You're not going to see it. And then Moses went and died.
Well, and maybe there's this, and I wonder. So it's a little confusing for me where people went when they died. Like, so this place called Shul, right? And there was a good Shul and a bad Shul where people are waiting for death. Waiting for
the afterlife for judgment. And it says, they said Jesus went down to Hades in the 3 days, took the keys from Sheol, from Hades, and then came back. So they're saying, like, did he go and rescue all of the prophets and bring them up to the third heaven? But just that whole concept of, like, what did Moses think? Where did he think he was going? Was he sure he was going to be with God? Or did he think he was waiting for the scales and the judgment?
No. I mean,
I don't know. What is the Jewish belief? Honestly, I don't know what their view, what the traditional Jewish view is of what happens to you in the afterlife. I think as the chosen people, it's like a carpool lane straight to God. But I don't know. I wonder.
Maybe there still needs to be a little bit of concern, you know, that you may not get there. I mean, then that's why you continue to go. Yeah. I mean, that's why you continue to follow what God tells you to do.
Right.
Because there is that thought that, you know, if I miss this appointment, I may not get hired. But if I don't.
Oh, I couldn't stand living like that. After leaving Islam, I could not deal in that relationship with God anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I just get the feeling that Moses knew that he was good. That he was good. I mean, he had to do, there was a lot of stuff.
Right.
I mean, there's an incredible amount of he just did it. Like, he was told and then he would just do it. There was never, he argued and said, I'm not going to do this today. I'm tired. I didn't read that.
Right.
As far as I remember, that God said, okay, you need to go to your people and tell them all this list. They need to lay a list of things. I don't remember Moses saying, not today.
I'm tired, leave me alone.
Aaron, you go do it. You built that orange calf. You have a lot of making up to do. Yeah. You go do.
Delegate.
Yeah.
Well, no, honestly, no, he did.
Yeah, did he?
That there was too much to do. Yeah, and they called the heads of the tribe council. Then God created the councils for him to carry some of the burden. Because he was doing it all by himself and he was a little exhausted.
God recognized that he was exhausted, or yes. Moses said, I'm a little tired. I can't do it today.
Well, I don't know the exact words. I don't remember the exact scripture, but somebody knew it was a little too much for him to do on his own.
Like, as a boss with some of my employees, there were days that I would go in there, you know, I'll get you some help. You just know that what they have to do is just beyond what it is they can do.
Anybody remember, did Moses complain? And that's when God created the tribal councils, and did he ask for helpers, or was it on God's prompting? I'm just curious, because Moses didn't have a problem complaining. A little bit of a complainer. Carrie says, thought Sheol and Hades were the same, and Abraham's bosom was for good people until Jesus came for them. Honestly, I just recall that it's not as clear cut as that, maybe, that it was. Like, where Abraham's bosom is not entirely clear. Is it a section of Sheol, Hades, or is it a completely different location? Because from my understanding of the commentaries that I've read, it's not heaven. So where exactly is it? Like, Abraham's bosom, where is that? So Cindy's saying, it was sadly confusing to me as a Jew, lots of worried to be good enough. Moses has lots of close communication with God and trusted God about it even unto death. And Carrie's saying they're both in the earth. In the earth, like in the earth's core? Yeah. Or like at the edge of New York City where you don't
go in the molten lava. Molten. That sounded weird when it came out of my mouth. I think it's in the molten hot lava.
But then where's Abraham's bosom?
Where the oil is.
Well, how are they going to find everybody if it's in molten hot lava?
Well, I mean, that's where hell is.
Pull them out for judgment. Hell is in earth?
No.
I don't think it's in earth.
Is it in another realm?
I think it's another realm. I don't know.
As a kid, I always thought it was in the molten lava.
Maybe. I can't, but I've never been, so I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. Either way. And there's water in Abraham's bosom. Hell is elsewhere.
Oh, like another.
And Sydney thinks the edge of New York City might be the edge of hell. See?
In the subway.
All right.
In the subway, for sure.
Okay, it's 52 minutes.
Wow, how did that time flew?
It did.
It was kind of like my earlier Facebook Live when ranting about togos.
Right?
Yeah, and it'd be an hour too. We had a couple of prayer requests. Did you get those?
It was just Cindy's traveling. And I know a couple of health requests that we have. Mm-hmm. Anything you have?
Let's pray for the Togos family.
For the Togos family. Is that what we're going to call them?
Yeah.
The family that owns Togos?
Yeah.
For peace. Can we have peace in the hood?
Yes. And the moms and Yorba Linda moms. Pray for them. They need prayer.
Ooh, scientists just found ocean inside the earth. That's fascinating.
Atlantis? There is an Atlantis. Were there people living in there?
I actually have no geographical point of reference for inside the earth.
Really?
Yeah, like I don't even understand what that means. I don't know. It was last time I had a deep earth geography class. So I don't, I like all I remember these, I have this vague recollection of pictures. Mm-hmm. Of the cross section of the earth and like layers for like the study of dinosaurs. What was that study called? Do you know what class that was? I didn't do very well.
I always think of like a baseball. The skin on the outside of the baseball is the surface where we live. Then when you go beneath that, then you have all the little strings that go around the little thing.
Oh, okay.
And then you go a little bit deeper and then there's this little rubber ball in the middle which the strings are all wrapped around.
Sure. Okay, let's pray. Oh no, hold on. Is the door locked? Did we lock the front
door?
I
heard it go beep beep.
The door?
Yep. Sorry, we have to.
I think she was maybe she wants to order food or something. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be used by you. Thank you for faith and for Jesus Christ, your only begotten son you sent to earth incarnate to live out as the perfect God-man, to suffer as we suffered, to suffer from temptation and yet not sin, to give us a way forward, to show us by example. We're just so grateful. We're so grateful for all that you have given us as believers. And we want that gift for everyone that we know, for our children, for their children. We want to leave a legacy of faith, Lord, that that they will say about us when we leave the earth that my parents loved Jesus. We want healing, Lord. We ask in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, we ask for healing for our loved ones, for Eddie, and for Carrie, and for Kate, and if any of the other our viewers, and for Cindy, and for her traveling, that you protect her while she travels, Lord, we just want restoration and good health so that we may serve you better. We ask for the provision that you give without measure that comes from heavenly sources that makes things possible, Lord. When there is no logical way in which things happen, you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. And we're asking for those miracles and those ways to be open to each and every one of us, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Paul's still hanging on.
Oh, amen.
Give him more opportunity to find Jesus.
Yes, I was telling her that, you know, may the Lord give him faith like the thief on the cross. I didn't get to type this to Kate, so I'm going to tell you now. When I went to Pastor Jack about my father and the concern that I had about whether he accepted faith or not, Pastor Jack said to me, he said, listen, we don't send anybody to hell. We like to assume that everybody on their last breath had the opportunity to meet Jesus, and we don't know. And he's like, you can't, he's like, don't send, you don't send them to hell. Leave that to God. And it's interesting because what God had said to my heart is, it's with me now. Leave it with me. Didn't answer my question, whether he believed or not. But we pray that your brother will see the Lord in his, even if it's in his last breaths, and come to saving faith in Christ before he passes.
Amen. All right, my friends, we love you.
God bless.
God bless. Take care.